Cassius Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Cassius Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 11th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And you know, that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made the choice for Yeshua tonight, you need to make it if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you and with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And I give you my cell phone number because we are here for you. But remember, you know, I made a mistake. My wife says it was because I filled out a couple of surveys or something online, and which gave them permission to use my cell phone number. And that means that I'm being drove crazy with all kinds of ads and things. Sometimes I answer three in a row, and it's all the same thing, different ad. So I get frustrated, and sometimes I don't answer my cell phone very quick. So if it is a smartphone, so if you text me and let me know that you're calling, you get the picture, it might be a little easier. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube Live and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. That's worldwide in places like Sydney, Australia. Hey, folks, over there, send me an email once in a while so I can see how you are. Pretoria, South Africa, Berlin, Germany. I remember a time when we couldn't hear anything out of Berlin, you know. I'm 63 years old. Athens, Greece. And, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Aurora, Illinois, which, by the way, is our largest group of listeners this week, Long Beach, California, Denver, Colorado, and Boston, Massachusetts. And that means Wichita, Kansas, which usually is our largest group of listeners, you got outdone this week. Also, follow us and share us at Twitter, at Pastor Dan Catlin, at Brant77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I ask for you to comfort and help all those that are in this terrible hurricane. I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight, he's been on with us many times in the past. He hasn't been on lately, and I apologize for that because I know you folks really like him. After hearing his interviews, people went to see the land that he was led to, a land that Corrie Ten Boom saw a vision of angels protecting the land. Yes, a place of safety. He says it's a place of refuge for the future, and I thoroughly believe him, as do many people. Some of the people have now agreed and even moved there. So tonight we welcome back Kenneth Updegrove of Ark Haven Ministries. So welcome back, Kenneth, and it's been a long time. I apologize.
Well, thank you. I'm just so glad to be here. I really have a message for your people tonight. I know we'll get to that after a while, but I just delighted to be here. You're such a dear brother. I've loved you all these years.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I was led, you know, a few years ago. I don't even remember how long it's been, but I brought you on because of, you know, I ran across your website, Arkhaven Ministry, arkhaven.org, that talked about the land that you're at and being a place of safety. You know, over the years, I've done a lot of research, and other people have went there and agree with me. But, you know, Kenneth, you know, a lot of people aren't looking, don't seem like, since Trump got elected, that they've been looking for a place of safety or even believe terrible things are coming. But, brother, I, from looking out at things and the craziness out there, you agree or disagree that this could, one election could take all this away, and we really see the hearts of a lot of people. Back to you.
Yes, and I sure agree that we're in a critical time. Every time we have an election over all these years, I see it as the most important one that we've had. And then the next one, and then the next one. They always seem to be more important each time. But we are, in my opinion, on the very verge, on the very cusp of the tribulation period. So we're in the latter last days. We should expect and note that that's the time we're in, that we should be ready for it. So I really encourage your people to be listening tonight to what I know you're going to be talking about is the election. So I hope I can contribute something to that.
Well, amen. You can contribute a lot. The point, here's one of the points. You know, I think that one of the things, I think President Trump's election did several different things, but one of which is it's like there was a veil ripped off of who, I guess, people really were, or I really believe it's a spiritual battle that we're seeing manifested out in the flesh, so to speak. But the evilness, what do you think about some of the evilness that we're seeing from some of these people? Have you ever seen or thought of anything like that?
Well, I'm sure I'm observing that it gets worse all the time, that they are pressured into really manifesting themselves and showing who they really are. Trump has put tremendous pressure on, I call it the cesspool, but he's put tremendous pressure on them, and that they are beginning to really show themselves for who they are. And the more they try to pull dirty tricks, the more that their dirty tricks backfire on them. And the Lord, I feel, is giving Trump prophetic insight as to know how to trick the enemy into showing themselves and exposing themselves, and they actually become their own worst enemy as this progresses. It's actually kind of fun to watch, even though we really know that this is no fun thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, I mean, on some things I go, you know, I see some of these little pictures on the internet. You know, somebody will say, okay, what can we do to upset the liberals today? And it's, you know, it doesn't take much.
You're in trouble, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It really doesn't take much. And it really amazes me. But here's the big thing that I kind of want to focus on. It's not that I believe that, you know, we are going to be, the wheat's going to live among the tares. That's absolute until the very end. But, and I do realize, and you'll probably address that a little later when we, probably in the second half for sure when we talk about your book. But, we will be sealed from things. But until then, I mean, it's really getting dangerous out there in the larger cities. And I know a lot of people do have the means to move their families. And I'm telling you, folks, the largest cities, I'd say anything that is above, you know, 300,000-400,000 people, even maybe 100,000 people, I don't know, it is just crazy to live in, that I believe that you should at least be an hour away from one of these places, because it's just crazy. Now, you know, I don't know about you, Kenneth. I don't know if there's a lot to do, but my wife and I, through her utterance, you know, which I believe is very prophetic, she told me, she said, you know, we're not going to any big public events, you know, in Wichita, like we go to sometimes, you know, whether it was a Christian event or maybe even a movie, which it's really hard to find movies that a Christian can see. But the point is she said because she was afraid of what would happen with the crowds. What do you think about that? Do you think it's safe to be in some of these places?
Well, it sure is reaching the time when you better be real careful about when you go into a big city. That's for sure, because the bigger, you know, some of the major big cities that are well known for violence, like Chicago especially, really know for sure that there's no occasion going on like that. I think that right after the election, if the Democrats lose a majority in the Senate, and that alone might drive some to the streets. But when the arrests start happening, as anticipated by we're hearing it announced a lot, if the arrests start happening, especially to some key characters, then there's going to be riots in the street. So it's going to be wise for everybody, and especially Christians, and especially outspoken Christians, to have food and water stocked up in their house and not venture out unless they absolutely have to. Even if there's riots going on, don't
right.
even go to work. Stay home.
Well, yeah, my biggest worry isn't so much about where that, you know, where you can see now, but we know there's riots. Hey, yeah, sure, stay away from it. But here's some of the things that I've been seeing, you know, and I spend a lot of days, a lot of time in research and knowing what's going on so I can warn people. But, you know, you see people like this one fellow, I don't remember the city, you know, he had a Trump sticker on his truck. He come out from wherever he was shopping and his truck's burning up. We've had children accosted and their hats snatched off their head because it was a Trump hat. And so on and so forth. We're seeing over and over because the political left is telling them it's okay to accost people. And so one of these acts of violence can happen at any moment, and it's unexpected other than something like that we're talking about. Yeah, we most assuredly expect there to be riots if that happens. And actually, even if they retain their majority, it may embolden them to even riot more if they become actually the Senate majority. Thank you.
Yes, the message here is be aware of what's going on in your city before you venture out. Be sure that you've got the news on so you know what's going on. So if you are living in a city and you have to live in a city, and I sure understand that, I've been in that situation, be sure that you know what's going on in your city that day, and take a safe route. If there is one.
Yeah.
If there's not, stay home. But we've got to keep our people safe as best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And even pray before you get out of the driveway. But, you know, but I believe, and this I know, you know, I live in a small community of less than 500 houses. You know, we're an hour away from Wichita. And, you know, it's a different kind of lifestyle. Something happens around here, you know, everybody knows it almost instantly. And to date, I don't believe that there's any of those kind of crazies here in our city. Not saying that some aren't Democrat or something, but, you know, and for the record, I'm not saying that every Democrat person on the other side of the aisle is crazy, but that seems to be where they're manifesting themselves. But what's really
the Democrats who are leftists, that's become the key word, is leftist Democrats. They're a different breed. I remember back when Democrats were liberifying people, and we got along fine. And their difference was that they believed in big government. They were federalists and believed in big government. But nowadays, the leftists not only believe in socialism, but they believe in globalism. They want to bring the United States down and make it equal and that equally poor, devastated like the rest of the world. That's their goal. So we got a whole new kind of Democrat. But we had them back then, I suppose, but they for a smaller number and had a smaller voice. But now that's the ones that are really dangerous.
Right, absolutely. And
I think Trump is saying that, and others are saying that a lot of Democrats, good people out there that vote Democratic, are seeing just how ugly these leftists are, and how much they are damaging the Democratic Party, and they want to see a reformed, cleaned up Democratic Party, bringing back in the old time Democrats. They see a need to purge their own party. My goodness, I saw that for the Republican Party for so long. And it's been cleaned up a lot, but now needs more. But we now are going to see the Democratic Party purged and cleaned up, hopefully, here.
If we're going to, I don't know, I absolutely believe we're in a time of the end. I don't know how much longer this nation has, but if we're going to exist at all, we need to purge those in our own parties. And, I'm speaking to the Democrats. I have nothing against you. What I have against you is the violence and the hatred and the spitting and and when you can't even reason with people, that's the big thing. You ever notice, you ever watch, whether it's, Fox News or someplace, and they'll put, the opposing party on, and they'll both talk. The conservative side will usually wait and listen, will listen through to the other person talk. And when it's the other person's turn, they just start to open their mouth, and they just start yelling at them and speaking over them and don't give them even a chance to talk back to you.
Yeah.
That's just craziness. But let's go with this. So I believe that and here's why the bringing up of the property. I want to go, because it's been a long time since you've been on, and I have new listeners all the time. I like that you tell us a little bit about the property, because I believe, just like I live in a small town, that there are safer places for people to be, whether or not you believe the world's going to end or not tomorrow, next week, next year, 20 years. Yeah. It's better to leave a better life. Back to you.
Yes. Here in the hills, the hill people, the Ozark people, are so friendly that it'll take you back. You get a little suspicious right away, but how in the world can anybody be that nice? But that's consistent. I have quite a few properties to advertise for people to look at. I have a new website now. The old website will get you to my new website for listing a property, but it's called realozarkland.com, and there's where all my listings are. I now list businesses that are for sale in the Ozarks, and right now I have a very large cavern, a very famous cavern that's for sale. With 1.6 miles of cavern there for people to wander through. One is kind of like two in one, go down one branch, and it's called Wild Caving. And by the time you come out the other end, you'll be so covered in mud that your mother wouldn't recognize you. You start off in a boat going down a river inside the cave, and then you wind getting off on foot, going through the rest of the cave. The other one is all a footpath for us old timers, and is going to give you a display of the most beautiful stuff you find in caverns and caves, any place on earth. It's beautiful. At any rate, I have that for sale, but I've got a number of properties all ranging all the way from, I guess right now the smallest one is 25 acres. The largest is 575 acres. So I've just sold a couple of my very nicest ones. The smallest one, only 10 acres, just sold this week. But they are all here in the Ozarks. Most of them are in what's called the Boston Mountains, which is the most rugged and most beautiful part of the Ozark Mountains. To tell you the truth, I need some listings. We've got all these sales and no replacements. So I'm looking around trying to find out how I advertise to find more people to list with me. But I sure invite people to go to my one of my websites, the arkhaven.org. That's my ministry site. The Real Ozark Land is my business site.
RealOzarkLand.com, is that what you're saying? Is there a link? I mean, like, okay, right now, look, I have Arkhaven Ministry, you know, the normal site pulled up.
Yeah.
Is there a link on it?
Yeah, there is. The one that says land, let's see, I think it says land for sale. I think it says, you click on it and it'll take you to a new one.
Land for sale. Okay. Well, I have Prepper Homesteader and Real Estate. Is that it?
Yeah, Real Estate. That's it. Real Estate. Click on it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's real Ozark Land. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and businesses. Well, you know, as good as you're getting rid of these properties, you'd think that people would want to list with you, you know, pretty quickly.
Find them if they can only find me. My new website hasn't been up very long, about 3 months now, and it hasn't had time for the search engines and the spiders and all those neat things to find me and so that people can find this particular source to advertise their property. It'll grow, but finding it easier to sell.
I have to interrupt you because we've got about a minute to go, less than a minute to go to break. Folks, his website is arkhaven.org, and it's arkhaven.org, and I will absolutely, wherever you listen to this radio program later on tonight and podcast, and if you go to theprophecyhour.com, you go to the pastor's page, I'll have a link to his new site listed on it. And I need you think about it. I need some kind of an icon or something for you because I want to put a direct link to this on my page so people can find you easier. So, folks, we will come back in 3 minutes, and we'll talk a little bit more about why it's safe. And he's got something to tell you, too, about his book. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking with Kenneth Uptegrove from Arkhaven Ministries. He's in the Ozarks. We're talking about a special place. I call it, we'll talk about that. I call it the Secret Mountain, wherever I talk about it a lot. But before we get to that, we've got to talk about the Wichita Mission Church a little bit. Folks, as you know, most of you know, that Messiah Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We've been in our 19th year of doing things since we started. And, you know, we are starting to do better in a Trump economy, but we're really not at that point yet. We do need your help right now. We prefer King James Version large print Bibles. You wouldn't believe we give them out almost as soon as we get them. You understand that? There's such a need for Bibles. You could send me 20 Bibles tomorrow, and within a week, they will be gone. That's how many people come to us for Bibles. We have, so pray about it. We feed people. We clothe people. I give them first aid. People come stumbling, come in the door with knife wounds. In fact, I had two knife wounds in the same day that really were really bad. But we fixed them up and everything. And one of them I got to go to the emergency room. The one that had a head knife wound. No, he would only let me work on it, even though that it needed stitches. But these are the kind of things that we do. Winter's here. We need blankets, coats. All of those things, especially you folks in Wichita. We're right there at Kellogg and Broadway. You could drop off clothing and so on and so forth. We appreciate it. Even books. We take books and put them outside under the awning, and people come and pick up books. So whatever that you have a need in your life for, these people have a need in their life. And also, folks, Thanksgiving is coming really, really quick. Thanksgiving is our biggest day of the year. And we need support for Thanksgiving. We need all kinds of things for it. And my wife will tell you better when she's on with me next week. As you folks know, she's on with me about three times a month now. I can't get rid of her. How about that? We've been together 3 years. Anyway, so pray about it. Pray about supporting North Shaw Mission Church. And anyway, we folks, we are the last hope for so many. And we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. That's absolute. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. So consider a donation for radio airtime. Is it's not free, and donations keep us on the air, just as donations keep the Mission Church open. You can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Again, pray about supporting airtime. And now we're back with Kenneth Updegrove. If he hasn't left me, are you still there, Kenneth? Ken.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And thank you very much.
Amen. Well, you know, it's a wonderful place, but, you know, in brief, take as long as you want. But we need to tell, why do you believe that this place is a safe place? I mean,
I've got several long articles on that. I sure invite people to come to archhaven.org and read those eight articles. They've been a big help to a lot of people. I get an awful lot of calls just based on the one article in particular that explains a very long one. So it really explains from the standpoint of science. And from the standpoint of warfare and the standpoint from the Navy, believe it or not, for the Navy Submarine Corps, believe it or not, and then also scripturally and prophetically, people like Corey Ten Boom, who have had experiences here that tells us that this is a spiritually protected place, a divinely protected place. But just geologically, it is particularly significant and different. It's called a plateau. It's a chunk of a rock that's a couple of hundred miles deep, sitting on the crust of the earth and a couple of hundred miles across. So it's extremely stable, and so it will never sink. A lot of people are concerned about the Mississippi Valley of becoming an inland lake, a shallow sea ranging from the Great Lakes clear down to the Gulf of Mexico, and they're concerned about flooding into the Ozarks because the Ozarks are not that far away from the Mississippi River, at least at one point down the south end of it. But this is not going to move, so there's not going to be any, if that were to ever happen, or a tsunami were to ever happen, it'll never reach the Ozarks. And right now, our poor American brethren who are in Florida and those eastern states, they're going through a terrible, terrible ordeal right now. And I feel that the Lord has shown me that, two or three years ago, he told me that we were going to see a time when natural disasters would increase and get worse, and that this sort of thing would bring real economic pressure and this maybe even disaster on our nation because of it. But once again, there's not going to be any hurricanes in the Ozarks. So that's a reminder. Not going to be any major flooding in the Ozarks. Too high. And because it's a limestone type formation primarily and variations on that, there's not going to be any major earthquakes. We have earthquakes that measure 1, 2, and 3. You never even feel them, but they do happen on that level. So that's
right.
Just geologically, this, and also because we're inland from the Gulf and a considerable distance from the Canadian border, close to 1,000 miles from the eastern and western shoreline, we're so far inland that there's not ever going to be an invasion penetrate this far.
Right.
There are no military targets, so there's just not going to be any major bombing or especially atomic bombs. The only thing you really got to be concerned about is EMC attacks, any place in the United States, including here. But if one is living off the grid, that won't make much difference anyhow. That's something I'm a strong advocate of.
Amen.
Return to an agrarian lifestyle that sustained mankind for 6,000 years still works.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, Noah had to, look, folks, Noah had to build the ark. You know what I'm saying? You know, Lot had to leave where he was at. He wasn't teleported to a different place, so that we should heed warnings and we should prepare. That, to me, that is the Christian way, is to be able to take care of yourself and then ergo maybe be able to take care of others. One thing I was going to ask you about, you alluded to something in the first part of the program. And by the way, Ken, if we don't get all your book covered today, we can do it again on another day. I want to emphasize that to the people. Just some things that I haven't talked to you in a while, and I really want to bring these out. You're one of the few people that I trust when it comes to some of the analyses that you make over different things that you read and understand. You know, you mentioned that maybe there's some arrest coming or something, and this is coming from Q. Overall, what do you think about Q and those arrests? Do you think any of that holds water? I will say this. I read the executive orders, and it sounds like they were written exactly for something like this. But I'm curious, what is your real thoughts on all that, if you care to share? Back to you.
I really probably don't have any more than anybody else. The subject is really on my heart and mind that I would like to at least touch on today is the Bride of Christ and being prepared for that. That's something that most teachers aren't preaching on is how to prepare spiritually for the time we're in. If we are genuinely, if we're premillennialists and we really believe that we're on the very verge of entering into the tribulation period, we know that times will be very rough before that, and get only worse as we go into it.
Well, I totally agree. I just basically wanted a yes or no if you believed in if the validity. And I've asked this of a lot of people. I just wanted to know if you believe in Q or not. And then from that, you can go right into your book because no amount of physical preparation will help if you're not spiritually prepared. So you can go right on into your book, just going into that.
All right. First off, really to try to address what you said, I really haven't got any insight there at all, just the same wisdom you do, and I appreciate what you said. I sure agree with you. My major concern at this point in my ministry is preparing the people physically, mentally, and spiritually for the time we're coming into and having an eternity mindset. There's a quote by Carlyle that says, "He who has no vision of eternity will never get a true hold of time." And the time we're in is the end times. And we need to be thinking in terms of, how do we understand, how do we read the book of Revelation and get an understanding of it, despite how hard it is to understand and why most people avoid it altogether because it's just so hard to get a handle on. But when you read the letters to the seven churches, you see that Jesus is talking to the churches, and we don't have time for me to use a lot of scripture and argument to just take my word for it for right now. He was talking to churches, and that meant the born-again people, the church members who are born-again Christians. But he said a certain percentage, a very small percentage of you born-again Christians are actually overcomers. He didn't make any promises to the others, but he did make promises to the overcomers. And when you go through all those promises and then you keep going through the rest of the book of Revelation, you begin to see that virtually every one of those promises given to the overcomer were fulfilled in the bride of Christ in the New Jerusalem. So that meant they're synonymous terms. Overcomers will be the bride of Christ. But also when you get to the book of Revelation 21, chapter 21, you begin to see that the New Jerusalem coming down, becoming visible and settling right over Israel. The New Jerusalem will be over Old Jerusalem, but it's so big it'll be actually over Israel. But then it describes the nations of the earth. So we see two groups of people, the New Jerusalem, which is called the Bride, which indicates that that's where the bride of Christ will be, and they will be seated and thrones in the throne room with Jesus. So we see the New Jerusalem, we see the bride sitting there, and then we see the nations, multitudes of nations, meaning ethnic groups, if you will. But at any rate, we see two groups of people, the bride and the people in the nations, the ethnic groups. Now, most Christians think that that all Christians will be in the bride of Christ and will be spend eternity in the New Jerusalem. But it's a bit of a surprise to see that these nations exist. Well, who are they? What are those people? And what qualified people to be in the nations? What qualified people to be in the New Jerusalem, the bride? So this is a challenge that I want to put out. There's a lot of controversy and a lot of opinions on this sort of thing, but I just see the desperate need to bring this out and start discussing this in our churches so that the people will be preparing spiritually for this time.
Let me throw a couple of things in here. I was just waiting for you to lay out what you wanted to. And you're right. There, you know, when it comes to the end time, I could call myself an expert on knowing that there's a whole bunch of different points of view. Not saying I'm an expert on which point of view is absolutely correct, if you understand what I'm saying. There's people that believe that when they die, they go instantly to heaven and there's none of this. You know, that they're immediately going to heaven and, you know, that's over with. Then you got preterists that believe that everything's already been fulfilled, and I have no idea what their finale believes. But then we also have people that, and it's predominant among Messianic folks, that believe that Yeshua or Christ will reign for 1,000 years. And then the part where you talk about, where Revelation 21 is after the 1,000 years and after the judgment, and then there is only what you'll call the bride of Christ that are left and then go to live in New Jerusalem. And as New Jerusalem comes at the end of the 1,000 years, there is a lot of different things out there. What's important is for you, and I know that you did it, you sent me and have you gotten any further with that? In your book, you start to lay that out to show all these scriptures on the overcomer. Back to you.
Yeah, in my old book, I have a chapter on the New Jerusalem and the Bride of Christ. Since that time, all these years, the Lord has shown me a whole lot more. But you were talking about the different views. The Ryer Bible Study Bible, the tiers of comments there on this subject. The first few states that the promises to the overcomer is experienced by all believers. In other words, all genuine believers are overcomers, and failure to overcome means that they were not true salvation, and they didn't have true salvation in the first place. The second view holds that the promises are experienced only by those believers who are faithful and obedient. And failure to overcome means that there has been a loss of salvation. The third view contends that the promises are experienced only by believers who are faithful and obedient, and failure to overcome means a loss of rewards, not salvation. None of these is without difficulty, but the correct interpretation would be the one that most consistently handles the details of all seven overcomer passages. Now, this means that the third view is most likely. So that's the one I stand on and have been writing this book on.
So
I would offer anybody who would like to just see my notes, I can offer about 12 pages of notes to anybody who would like to see them. So I make that little offer. I've been sending it to a number of pastors around the nation.
I'd like to see them for sure. For the record, have you any projection date that which you might complete this book?
Not at the moment. I can offer notes. In fact, I can probably offer 20 or 30 pages of notes to anybody would really like to see them.
Right.
Be
so are you just too busy,
that,
or are you just taking
to do that?
Not to overtalk you. Are you just too busy, or are you just taking your time with it, so to speak?
Well, I am just so doggone busy between advertising land and responding to people that are prospects who want to buy, and then I've got my forum, people who are writing on my forum and then responding to it. It just seems like I'm just terribly busy, and really regret how little time I've had to actually work on the book. I must have 100 pages of notes, but they're really rough at the moment.
I get that. You know, I have so many, some people say it, I have so many different hats to wear. You know, I'm a dad, I'm a granddad, I'm a pastor, I'm my own webmaster, which I don't do very well with that, and, you know, talk host, I look for guests, I have to read the books that come to me, and so on and so forth. You know, I've got a book in me, and I haven't been able to put it down because just merely not having time. I don't know about you, but to me, time is my biggest enemy. I blink my eyes, and here, where did the summer go? I thought I was just getting started with summer, and now here I am getting ready to, well, I better get some wood cut. Back to you.
Yes, I've had a lot of advice on how to manage your time, but I like to spend, you know, when it comes to writing, it takes a while just to get your mind into it. So you come back the next morning and look at that big mess, you know, several dozens or hundreds of pages of notes, and you got to get flowing in it again, and then editing and making it all flow and make sure you aren't duplicating yourself all over the place. It's quite a challenge, and also it is a difficult subject. There are still things that I don't understand, and as Jonathan Kahn says, man, about the time you think you've got it all figured out, you discovered you don't. Anybody who gets a little cocky, and when you're a little over 39 like you and me, I'll be 82 next month, you have learned that how many times you've had to change your mind over the decades because the Lord keeps showing you more things, disciplines you and chastises you and corrupts you so that you can come into a better understanding of things. I like the understanding, well, why is it that some Christians are overcomers and some aren't? Why will there be some in the New Jerusalem and some in the nations? Well, we need to understand these differences. And this is taking time to study
right.
and do my research and to talk to my wife and my friends who are much sharper than me. That will help.
Well, you
me.
Have to have a man has to have a sounding board. You have to sound things off people. But you hit a nail on the head. That when you said that the father keeps correcting you, and that's me. You know, I got everything figured out, and I'm sitting down and I want to write an article about it. And just about the time they think I got it 100% figured out, then maybe we do Bible study, you know, on the Sabbath, and oh boy, there that went out the door. So then I think, well, if I wrote that down, I'll have to rewrite a whole book, you know. And so that's part of my problem. Back to you.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I'm really convinced of is that the people in the nations will actually be normal human beings. They weren't raptured. They weren't transformed into the eternal body. They won't be rulers, and they will be the ruled. The bride will be rulers over the nations, and so we have to have chiefs and Indians. So there's nations to be ruled over. And they will be separate group of people. So what makes the difference between these two groups? I want to really challenge people. Well, you might not believe me, but the point is, there's the two groups. Which one are you going to be in, and how are you going to assure yourself that you will be in either one of these groups, which they're blessed, but these people going into the nations will be normal human beings. They won't be the rapture. They won't be the transformed. They will have children. They will die. And at the end of the 1,000 years, those children's children will be making decisions for Christ. And at the very end, there will be those who will rebel against God himself. So that's the people in the nations, not the people in the New Jerusalem, and not the bride. So sorting these things out and keeping things separate, we've got to understand them, and we've got to warn and get as many people prepared for this as possible. Now, I would sure really enjoy having another program one of these days after you read some of my notes, and we can really, you can help do all this, challenge me.
The father just put you on my heart. I thought, man, I need to get Ken on and these other things. I need to get this. You know, I really wanted to spend a whole hour on the program, just about these issues, because I've got even some comments right now. I could spend another 30 minutes going back and forth with you about, but the point is I wanted the people to repoint them to your property, because I really feel anxiety with me about what may be coming. But, Ken, we're really at the end of things, you know, and so tell them where they can find your website, and I'm going to have to say goodbye.
All right. Arkhaven.org, ARKHAVEN, no dashes or spaces, or just ARKHAVEN.org, and it will lead you automatically to my real estate page, and that way you'll get my articles and my listings, and I really need listings, so if anybody can help me in that, I would sure appreciate it. We've had 3 sales here that sure blessed us.
Right. Amen. Well, that's a blessing to hear that you're doing well. And I really appreciate you. And you keep – you said you're 82. I'm 63, so you make me feel young, brother. I hope I can do as well as you when I'm 82. But I think actually Yeshua will be there before I'm 82. But we never know. Anyway, thanks for being on with me, and we'll talk again. You be blessed. Goodbye
and
shalom.
Thank you so much, brother.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, that's Ken Upton Grove. His website is Arkhaven Ministries, but it's just arkhaven.org. Find the link where I said it would be at over there at the pastor's place. It'll also be on where the podcast is with this. But pray about it, folks. We really do need your help for the Wichita Mission Church. Think about sponsoring Thanksgiving. You know, think about what it's like to feed a couple of hundred people's guests at your house. We really do need your help ahead of time. We really, folks, you must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. You know what? He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after what? 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Those are his words. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The word says to do that. Pray for their peace. That's praying for Yeshua's return, because there will never be, remember, there will never be any real peace on this planet until Yeshua returns. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.